the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
So, you know, what is it to be an extrovert? What do you think? When you see someone that's extroverted, what do you think about them? Crazy? Loud?
mostly just that they're energized in the crowd, that they're that being with a lot of people is actually a source of energy, inspiration. You know, it's what wakes them up and gets them excited.
Sometimes it can be chaos, but sometimes people are extroverted because they seek attention. You know?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, we all have to, that's a big part of my work with my clients is actually, what are your motivations for your various behaviors? Like really core underlying motivations.
Yeah. Well, we're about to find out your underlying motivations right here on the Edge. Look at my postcard. Right here, Brains. Welcome home.
Here's mine. Can I show you mine?
Absolutely.
Right here, Brains.
Look at that. You got the red version. What do you think? Do you like the yellow or do you like the red? I think I like the yellow.
I like them both. You look great with the yellow.
Do I?
And I'm liking the red because it's okay. Love, right?
It is. This is all about the month of love, Brains. And we have Dori Class from Arizona, Tucson, Arizona. She is an author. She is a mother. She is a coach. She got four boys. Yes. She's been married coming up on 29 years and she is approaching 60. Isn't she striking? Life is doing good by you, girlfriend. Yes. Yes, it is. So today we're going to talk a little bit about her journey, what her ideal client is, and what is in the pages of her book, Dori A. Class, From Boardroom to Bedroom, Who Are You Being? Wow. It's a whole lot of white space to color in between there, okay? I'm so glad that you're here with us on The Edge. I'd like to welcome you formally to The Edge. Brains, pay attention. We're going to have a good conversation with Dori Class. Hi, Dori.
Hi, April.
How are you, beautiful?
I'm great. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're great. So tell us all about you and your journey and your story. I want to hear a little bit about you from you.
Oh, thank you. Wow, that's anybody's journey and story, right? You could go on forever. Probably the big thing is that I'm about to be 60.
And wow. Bravo.
I should be dead 10 times. My body should be ravaged with sexually transmitted diseases. Woo! I had a death wish in the first 2-3 decades of my life. And the fact that I'm here, and my boys are launched and my marriage is thriving and I'm healthy, says, I guess I'm not done yet and I'm supposed to be here. And so I'm just celebrating every day that I'm alive. And I see so many people around me who, you know, I want to shake them and say, live while you're alive, you know, say yes, let it all come and learn how to be with it. Because yeah, it's another way to be in life.
A friend of mine always says, you can live where you're dying or you can die where you're living. And I'm so glad that you are living. Tell us a little bit about your journey and some of the things that you've experienced in your life to bring you to this point.
Wow. Well, one of the things that, you know, we all have defining moments in our life. And I had some pretty tough ones early in life, coming out of a good childhood, a fairly normal childhood, but not, in my case, feeling very safe in my home. And eventually having to get out in the world and then experienced, quite frankly, some pretty tough stuff, violent sexual assault, loss of a sibling to suicide, some big things. And the challenge for me was, I think that one of the most defining moments of my life actually was the day we found out my sister had died. We were on the way to her wedding and we ended up at her funeral. And that night I couldn't sleep. I was restless and struggling because I was alone in my grief, even though her fiance's family members were around and my family and some of my family members were around, but nobody was there for each other. and it was deeply isolating and you know, just horrible. And I prayed. I didn't know what else to do. And so
all you can do is stand and pray.
I prayed and I was crying and I couldn't sleep and I prayed and I said, you know, God, if there is a God, please give me something. Just give me something. And I heard four words. It was literally like James Earl Jones or a big man was standing right next to me. And I hear voices a lot in my life and now I actually listen to them. But the words I heard were, say yes to life. At the time I was 24 and I had no idea what that meant or how to do it at that point, but it was so compelling that I found myself going, okay, okay, okay. And the last 34, 35 years of my life have been that journey of learning how to say yes to life and how to love whatever life brings, no matter what life brings.
Well, you know, there's a lot of ebbs and flows in life and, you know, being able to surrender and say yes, to be a part of that is huge. You know, last year I went through this whole metamorphosis of saying no, no to a lot of things, but it brought me to a sense of balance because usually I'm a yes person. Mm-hmm. But would you say yes because you wanted to fit in or you were vulnerable? Or if you really found that that was a release for you to be able to say yes?
I certainly couldn't have answered those questions when I was 24 or 25. But what I can tell you is that that's a big part of the work I do in the world as on my own self, with my friends, as for my clients, with as a mother, is to help people understand what are your core values, what and who matter most to you, period. And then say yes to that and learn and in all kinds of ways, in thoughts, words, and deeds, actively nurture the friendships or the relationships that mean the most to you, beginning with your relationship with yourself and source. And, you know, who actively, consciously do that work. It's fueling the relationships. It's nurturing each other. And that's part of saying yes. And yes doesn't, you know, you've heard the cliche, yes doesn't mean anything if you can't say no, right?
Right.
And so that practice of learning to say no is vital too. And it's one of the challenges for myself, and then, because I am my ideal client first, right? We're our own living laboratory, when you have so much capacity, when you're a high achiever, when you're a high performer, when that kind of stuff matters to you, and your life is full, and we live in the times we live in where there's so much abundance and so much choice, nobody's taught us how to choose and stay the course when we do. So that's
honor that place when you're there. You know, everyone is always trying to ratchet up.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people all the time that happiness is a drug. Mm-hmm. You're all, what's the next thing that's going to make me happy? Is it a car? Is it shoes? Is it money? Is it a man? Is it a new hairdo? Is it a boob job? Mm-hmm. What is it? They're always chasing that happiness high. Yeah. And so when you find that place of contentment where, you know, you're able to celebrate your highs, but you're also able to recognize and work through your lows, yeah, I think you're in a good place. And so you're working with very high performing midlife professional women is your core audience and your core client.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges that you see women in that space facing?
A few in particular. First of all, they're very accomplished and they're very ambitious and they have no desire to leave the workforce typically. And most of the women I work with, well, not all of them, but a lot of them have children also, usually still school-aged at home or young adults. And their biggest challenge is that they're super busy. They're over-scheduled. They're over-committed. And yet, and in many cases, like they've actually achieved everything they imagined they wanted, you know, career, love relationships, life, family, their own personal image, you know, or reputation. And yet now they're feeling restless. They're feeling almost even ambivalent about that. And they don't know why. And then there's the double shaming of, I should know the answers. And the fact that I don't know the answer is a problem. And the fact that I'm even feeling like this feels shameful. Why can't I just love what I have? What's wrong with me? Mm. What's missing? And what's missing is typically the thing that's always been there, but they forgot, which is their true self, their whole self. They keep feeling like they're leaving pieces of themselves at the door because parts of them want more expression at different times in life. And they've been leading to one or two or three aspects of their identity, whether it's, you know, CEO or running, you know, running this department or running this company, wife, mother, whatever the roles are, they're overly attached to those identities, and more of them wants to be expressed. They want to expand into more of their potential. And a lot of this is a spiritual journey. It's the inward looking process. It's right. Cultivating a vital inner life and the ability to listen to those voices and let that inform your outer life.
But, you know, listening to those voices in your head, sometimes it's negativity. Again, it's that neuro-linguistic programming, learning to trust that voice. You learn to trust that voice. Tell us a little bit about the voices that you heard and you still hear, and how they encourage you and motivate you, but also halt you and warn you.
Yeah, well, that's some of my signature work, is what I call parts work. Mm. And so I'll give you an example. I had a client, he was a chief financial officer, and he called me and said, I'm about to quit my third job in a year, and I don't know why. Wow. And as we started to do some work, and this is a big part of the challenge of not knowing all your parts and which ones are active and which one should be active. And I use the metaphor of a personal board of directors. Who's on your personal board of directors?
Right.
And have you created an aware ego that can referee between the different voices? And
make sure the ones
that don't need to be leading the charge can stand down. And the ones that you need to hear from, you're like, please come speak.
I need a magistrate in mine sometime.
and in his case, one of the voices that we discovered was an artist, his inner artist. And his inner artist was getting grumpy and was starting to sabotage his CFO and provider. And after we did a lot of work around core values and around overarching vision and around a lot of the parts that were active in him, he realized, you know, I love being a CFO. I love being a provider for my family of five. I love these parts of me. And he's been in an either or. I can either be a CFO or I can be an artist. The artist kills off the CFO, he quits the job, and then he's, you know.
Wow.
And so now, you know, he did quit that third job. He got a new job in a nonprofit in the arts.
Wow.
He was actually making as much, or actually more than he was making in his Fortune 50 company as a CFO. And he had the courage to tell them, I'm an artist. He was surrounded by art and artists, and he ended up negotiating a 4-day work week, and on the fifth day actually rented studio space and did his art. And then when we were done, he was actually starting to put a price tag on some of it in clay, but the point wasn't to replace his CFO income.
Right.
It was to give the artist space in his life for expression.
And you have to give that creative expression, you know, and brains, everybody is not going to be as adventurous as her client and a risk taker to quit their job and do that. But what you also need to do is you need to be able to niche out just a little bit to awaken that creativity in you, because it's so important. It's so important that people find who they are outside of their 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll be living a life that you'll say, I missed out on so much, if I coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so you don't want to do that.
No.
So tell us what is in the pages of this book, because it is a very provocative title. You're going from the boardroom to the bedroom. What's happening in between there?
You know, this is my, I did a couple eBooks on parenting, and
let's hold it up straight. Yeah. Yes. I want people to see that. You see that, brains? All right, go ahead. Finish telling us, baby.
And so the title is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, Who Are You Being? From the Corporation to the Kitchen, Who Are You Being?
Wow.
And are you, you know, and for a lot of my clients, the tagline is how to go from dead, stuck, uninspired, and surviving to creative, alive, engaged, and thriving at work and at home. One of my favorite quotes from one of my muses in life is from Maya Angelou. And she said, to survive is important. To thrive is elegant. And I spent the first half of my life in survival mode, and a large portion of that time not knowing I was in survival mode. And we don't show up as our best and true and whole self when we're in that space. And so for me, a big part of my work has been to, there's this whole continuum between survival and thriving, and to be able to live along this whole continuum and be more about thriving and creating the conditions necessary to thrive in my life so that I can also do that for everyone I touch.
Well, you got a lot of work to do because you're living there with five, well, maybe not now, but you live there with five men.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a lot of testosterone. Did it make you tough?
Oh, my husband convinced me a long time ago I was meant to be the mother of sons. And you know what? It's been really important to me for the longest time in my life. I led to my masculine, you know, very much the active principle, right. Point, shoot, kill, get things done. It's served me well. I have a 401k, a pension, I have resources and options. And so, yay. And a big part of my life in my healing journey and moving to thriving has been to have a relationship with my feminine aspects, mm-hmm. the ability to be penetrated, not just penetrate, be impacted, not just impact, gather, receive, and be in that space and that energy. And so when I'm raising my sons, my husband and I have been raising them to have access to both their inner masculine, their inner feminine, mm-hmm. that sacred marriage, and then let that inform how they show up in the world. And it's beautiful. They're really global citizens.
They are. Well, I see that in one of your photographs, you got a daughter-in-law.
Yes.
I know that's a special relationship.
Oh yeah, we get the girl energy going, and I have. I told them all, if we get a dog, it's going to be small female, and her name is Libby Rose, and we have little Rosie. She's 10.5 pounds, and so I get my girl thing going with her. And exactly. I have girlfriends now. I've had to learn how to be a girlfriend, and it's been amazing.
What brings you the most joy in life?
Oh wow! Like. So like right now I'm looking in right outside of my window over the computer here, and there's a rack there with gourds on it, and I'm like a wannabe gourd artist, and my husband, because he knows I love it so much, he built me a bench with all these supplies and tools, and to like be in a relationship with somebody where you're willing to risk being in relationship, because to love somebody is risky. Right? To love anything is risky because it's not a given that it'll stick around or that it'll stay the same, or, you know, and so to me, I guess what brings me the greatest joy is learning how to love and give it and receive it. And that's been a journey. That's been a real journey.
What is one of your life's biggest regrets?
that it took me this long to learn how to love and give and receive it. If I even call it a regret, because I mean, our lives are our lives, right?
They evolve when they evolve, honey.
Yeah, and it's part of why I do what I do, because the work I did to heal and become more whole and begin my journey of becoming whole, which is really what the second half of life is all about, mm-hmm. I did in very clunky ways and on my own. And it was very isolating and hard. And so that's part of why I do what I do now, is so that people can be on that journey and they don't have to be alone. And I may only be a step or two ahead of them, but I walk the path that they're walking on. And that courage to look with, it really does take courage to look.
Oh, girl, yes. Oh, yes. It takes more than a mirror. Yeah. Because the Reverend Al Sharpton told me one day, he said, baby, that mirror is not just for reflection, but it's also for correction.
Yeah, there's accountability, there's responsibility. It's like, who am I being? How am I showing up in the world?
Right.
And that's the impact I want to have. And most of my clients, like, they have reach and impact, you know, both in their homes and in their workplaces and in their communities, actually. And they take that seriously. Like, they you know, not in a, like, I'm so, you know, but in a, like, I want to make a difference in my circles, and I want to show up powerfully, consistently, confidently, and as I intend, as much as I can, right. and use the gifts I have or the lived experience I have or whatever, in service of the people I'm meant to serve or most suited to serve or come in contact with. That matters to them. And that's also how they know they matter, you know? And so, and a lot of the people in the roles that, that they're in that I work with, those, you know, when you're in a leadership role, it's kind of a lonely role. It, you know, when you're running a household and you're busily running from part of your life to another part of your life, you're on your own. And so to be able to, when I create a safe and courageous space for you to be seen, like really seen, and to love what you find,
right,
all of it, and then to really start to create the self that you want to be going forward, and to quest. So the book, you know, those five core parts is you know, it's kind of the work before the work. It's the oil in the engine to do the road trip. You know, it's not the sex and sizzle. It's the meat and potatoes. You know, but it's, you know, it's like put relationships first, beginning with yourself. That's the first part of it, and then it's, you know, keep the lines of communication open. You know, are you communicating well? And if not, what do you need to do about it? What are your assumptions, and are you checking them? And how have they served, and are they still serving? What are the rules of engagement that create boundaries and structure for your life to hold you and let you bring your best self forward? And then lastly, I go through 21 practices that are kind of like the fuel that keeps, you know, things moving and keeps things.
Well, you seem like a Mercedes, honey. You're a fine, you're a fine-tuned machine there. Yes, ma'am. You know, who pours into you, Dory? Because I see a lot of certificates and accolades on your wall back there. And it's not just about the people that you sit in front of, you know, but really, who do you let saturate and penetrate your heart when you're developing your courses and you're looking to looking for things to pour into other people?
Well, you know, as part of that, you know, I guess I have to say God, or my version of that, whatever that is, the beloved, the larger creative force that I think kind of cords us all to one another. My husband is truly my best friend and supporter, and he's a beautiful partner. For me, I invite people into my life. I'm in a mystery school, and I have the fellow mystery scholars, and we all consider ourselves temple keepers on the planet. We're here as, you know, learning how to, we meditate every day. We learn.
Okay. So wait, pump your brakes. 'Cause my brains don't know about that. I don't even, what is that, girl? I might want to join. I thought it was like mystery theater. I thought we was going to find out who killed him with the knife in the kitchen. Tell us about that.
How do you describe mystery school? That's part of one of the things that I'm hoping maybe is part of my path going forward, or I'm just open to it being, is like to create a modern mystery school, which is part of the conversation about what is it to be human on many levels of being human, not just the personal psychological, but the symbolic, the archetypal, the on the level of force and element. What is it to be divine in a body and a body in the divine? And like to see God walking every time a person comes to you, you know, like what is it to live in heightened state and ordinary state and be able to have with facility shift between these? What is it to love whatever life brings? Like, even if you don't prefer it egoically, what is it? And it's to be able to ask these kinds of questions, or like you said, what brings you joy or fills you? I could sit and watch hummingbirds all day long and be happy. Totally happy. You know, and so what is it like this whole in our mystery school in the first 4 years, we study the ancient wisdom traditions. We study.
Oh, you've been doing this for 4 years? That's
I'm in graduate studies now. I've been in this kind of breath work and consciousness work for 2 decades now, but the mystery school has been 7-8 years, and we have direct access to the wisdom within those inner voices through dream work, through chanting, through music, through meditation, through authentic movement, through art, through all different ways that we can create and access wisdom. It's there.
That's powerful. That is really cool. We got to talk about that offline. You know? Really, I mean, you know, I had never heard of that. I've heard of those different modalities, but not come together and to be able to, you know, document it and have a full-on course, you know. So that's really amazing. Well, your conversation with me has been amazing. You know, I thank you so much, my sister. I think you're beautiful, light. I love those rosy cheeks and those big old dimples. And life is good. And I'm glad that you're a survivor, but not only a survivor, you are a thriver. Yeah. Give my brains, in closing, one good piece of advice that they can hold on to, wherever, maybe a quote that someone's given to you, maybe something that you've learned in mystery school, or maybe something from your book. Give us something to take away.
You know, what I want for everybody I know is to know that you, on the one hand, you may be utterly insignificant, and in the grand scheme of things, you are, right? And on the other hand, you're utterly significant too.
That's important, brains, because you matter, right here on the edge. Thank you so much, Dory Class, for being here on the edge with us, brains. You know, I bring you the best and the brightest on the planet. Ask my guests. I vet them. I'm just not randomly picking people. I want to make sure that what they're saying pours into you organically and something beautiful blooms and blossoms, okay? A lot of times, this is a great learning for me as well as my guests. So leave some comments. Go in and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. We are all over the planet, and we're always looking for great guests to step to the edge, to share their truth, to share their moment, their awakening, and also their survival. And thank you, Dory, for being so vulnerable and sharing all of that with us. I think you're awesome, Sauce. I really do. Brains, also, I forgot. Please tell them how to get in contact with you, because we want people to do work with you. We want people to purchase the book.
Yeah, the book's on Amazon and in Kindle form right now. And then for me, it's www.doriclass.com. And that's DoriKlass.com. And they can sign up for my Love Your Life and Lead From There Facebook group. They can subscribe so that they can get updates and emails on my programs. And mostly what I do right now is one-to-one private VIP coaching with my mid-career professionals who really want to do the deep dive in this work. And then I do consulting work and stuff for teams and families. But that's that comes as a out of those conversations. So www.doriclass.com.
And brains, there's something that you can't buy, and that is class.
Thank you. Okay, right. I have to tell you, can I tell you a quick story?
Sure.
All right, so my maiden name is Ripple. And as you might, okay, so you just laughed, right? As you might imagine, it was a hard name to grow up with. But at my wedding, when my father gave a toast, he ended it with, "Here's to a bunch of little ripples with a touch of class."
Oh, that's beautiful. And that's how we're going to end it, with class. I love you, brains. Be all that you can be. It's work, but it's worth it. Bye, Dory.
Bye, April. Thank you. Bye, brains.